Hi, this is Stephanie Gunning. Is anybody on the line?
I am.
Who's that?
This is Vonna.
Hi, Vonna. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm good. Where are you?
I'm in Greenville, Tennessee.
Oh, how exciting.
And where are you calling from?
I live in New York City.
I mean, where are you at? I'm calling you.
Yeah, in New York City.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, the conference center, I think, is in South Dakota or something like that.
Oh, okay.
I forget where it is, 512, whatever that is.
But, I never remember.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. I love the telephone.
I do, too. I'm sitting here. I thought, I don't know if this one's going to be all muted or what, yelling at my little three-year-old to give me my stuff.
Oh, actually, I'm going to announce that there is a way you can mute your own phone, so you can turn it on and off. Hi, who's joining us?
Reverend Terry Lauer.
Hi, this is Stephanie. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Stephanie?
I'm great. Where are you calling in from?
Santa Monica.
Ah. We have Tennessee and California.
Hi, it's Chris from Cleveland, Ohio.
Hi, how are you? This is Stephanie.
Great. Really looking forward to this.
Yeah, I am too. We're just going to wait a few minutes.
Yeah, I know. And, I always call in a little bit early.
Yeah, I like to make sure that all the technology is functioning.
Uh-huh.
And give people a chance to join.
And I appreciate the fact you're on already, because some of them you go to and all you hear is music, and they wait and you wait and you wonder if you're on the wrong line.
Right. True enough. True enough. Yeah, so as I was just telling Vonna, there is a way to mute your own phone, which is if you push *6, it should go to mute, and it should tell you that you're going into a different mode.
You want us to mute?
Yeah, I will. I mean, you don't have to do it till we begin if you don't want to. And then whenever you want to unmute again, or, you know, what to take questions or whatever.
Yeah. And then you hit *6 again, don't
yeah.
you?
Yeah, yeah.
Hello.
Hi, who's that?
This is Rondi.
Hi, Rondi. It's Stephanie.
Hi.
I'll talk to you on Monday.
Am I the only one? Who else is
No,
here?
You're on. A few people have just muted themselves because they had some background noise. So.
Oh, okay.
We've got people from California and Cleveland and Tennessee. And I'm hearing popcorn, it sounds like.
Me.
So I'm hoping Betsy will let me know when she's on.
I just got on. Hi.
You did. Great. Hi. I'm just going to wait like two more minutes to make sure that everybody, you know, most of the people are on who are going to be on.
Sure.
And then go. Ah, so we're having finally beautiful weather in New York. I hope it's lovely everywhere else in the country.
Beautiful in Washington State.
Washington State. Ooh, who's that?
That's Rondi.
Oh, that's Rondi. That's where you are. For some reason, I thought you were in California.
No?
Yeah.
I'm up where it's blue instead of yellow.
Okay, well, you know what? It's 8 on my clock, so let's just go. So a little bit of housekeeping. I was just telling people that I'm going to let you guys control your own mute function unless something goes out of control and, you know, we hear sirens or something, in which case I'm going to take over and do a blanket mute. But you can mute your own telephone by going *6. And then, if it's time for questions or whatever, you can unmute again by pushing *6. So you are on the right call if you were calling for self-empathy in the creative process. This is Stephanie Gunning, and I'm going to be talking with Betsy Clark today. Betsy is a coach and facilitator in the integration program of the New York Council for Nonviolent Communication. Betsy is also an affiliated interfaith minister at the Sacred Center of New York, which is a non-denominational church in New York City whose doors are open to everyone. As a life coach and spiritual counselor, she works with the challenges that many of us experience in establishing or reestablishing a connection to our spiritual or divine nature, and she helps her clients find their own spiritual paths by helping them distinguish and explore their deepest needs and values. I met Betsy sometime in the dead of winter, and we laughed a lot that night, as I recall. It was four women together laughing. And I found out that she was going to be facilitating a 9-week practice group in this technique called nonviolent communication. And the course began around Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday and at the end of January and continued for 2.5 months after that. And it was called the Season of Nonviolence. And there was a whole bunch of these groups in New York City that got together. So we were all working from a book that was written by a man named Marshall Rosenberg. I'm blanking on the title. What's the title, Betsy?
Nonviolent Communication.
Oh, there you go. So simple, I couldn't remember it. And basically, what I experienced internally as I was going on a weekly basis and meeting with the same 7 or 8 people, and we were listening to each other, deeply listening, and really connecting from the heart and not fixing each other, but just listening to feelings and needs and what was going on, I noticed that I was undergoing a process with myself as I was writing, where I was really beginning to ask myself some more compassionate questions about what was going on with me every day, sitting in the chair as I was writing. And we got towards the end of the book, and there was actually this whole chapter on self-empathy, which is just this, it was just this, it's just this lovely idea, because I work with writers and teach book proposal courses, and I've also written 16 books now, and I have to say that we could all be gentler with ourselves. And you come across a day when you're just procrastinating, or you're irritated, or your back aches, or the people that you're interacting with, your collaborators, your publisher, your editor, your agent, somebody's giving you a hard time. Stuff is just not, just things get in the way of the creative process. So this is one of the reasons that I actually began doing these monthly phone calls with different people who teach different methods of being in relationship with yourself. And so, of course, I had to invite Betsy to be on the call. And so, Betsy, is there anything that you want to say about yourself to start with?
Myself. Well, I'm very excited to be on this call. I always love the opportunity to be able to share what I've learned over the last 2.5-3 years in this language of compassion, is what I like to call it, because it certainly has greatly contributed to my own transformation and how I relate to myself and my world. So I'm excited to be here, and I'm just excited to be able to allow you to take any pieces or pearls away from this call, even if it's just one thing that you just didn't know before. So we'll certainly open it up for questions at the end, but my joy in life is just to work with people who are just really curious and eager to learn more about themselves so they could just really take themselves to the next level in their own lives, wherever that would be, professionally, spiritually, in the fun, play, hobby field, whatever that was for that person at that time in their life. So this is going to be a real treat for me.
Okay, fantastic. And I'll monitor the time so that we make sure that there's a chance for questions. So I just want to read one really quick quote from Marshall Rosenberg. When critical self-concepts prevent us from seeing the beauty in ourselves, we lose connection with the divine energy that is our source. And I'm curious to ask you, both what is nonviolent communication as a technique, and how does it help us connect with our source?
It's a great question, and I get the chills when I hear that quote, actually. I like to think of nonviolent communication, or NVC for short, as a way in to self-connect with ourselves, and therefore how we connect to the world. So it's as if we put on another lens cap, and really have a choice. We ask ourselves, how do we want to look at the world today? Do we want to come from, or in this moment, for example, do I want to look at this world as a place that where I'm coming from, blame or judgment or criticism, watching somebody and just really criticizing the heck out of them? Or do I really want to come from a place of being self-connected enough to know what's going on in me that I'm even having this judgment? And where we get the clue is all judgments, and this is one of my favorite Marshall quotes, judgments stem from they're just painful expressions of unmet needs.
Oh, I love that. You know, half the time, I don't even know what I need.
Yeah.
And that was one of the things that I really liked about the work that we did in our group, was that it really slowed us down.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was room for that question, what do I need?
Well, you know, we don't really get taught about needs in school. Needs aren't necessarily something we focus on. I mean, we really, if you think about our structures in the society, we're basically told what to do. We're not necessarily asked what we need or want. So we kind of go through life maybe meeting other people's needs, but maybe not even connected to what our needs actually are. So this needs consciousness is kind of new. And what it allows us to do, just to answer, to go back to your question of, you know, when we lose connection with the divine energy that is our source, I like to think that this divine energy really is they are our needs, that the life force are our needs, because needs and values are universal. We all have them.
That was one of the other things that I noticed, was that I would be listening to somebody and asking them questions, and I know we're going to talk about this in a second, how people would reflect for one another what they were hearing, the feelings would be, and sort of guessing what they would be. And I noticed that when we kind of started tapping into the flow of that story and those feelings and that energy, that it was almost as if we became one almost. I mean, I was seeing myself in them,
right,
and they were seeing themselves in me.
And that was a beautiful thing.
It was very healing.
Yeah.
So what is, what exactly is compassion or self-empathy?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Self-empathy really is self-compassion. So, again, if we look at NVC, another short way to talk about it is a language of compassion. Really, what that allows us to do is self-empathizing is just really drawing ourselves in and asking ourselves, what are we feeling and needing in this moment? So it really is not only a language of needs, but a language of feelings.
So is compassion to witness without judging? What would be a synonym for that word? I don't even know.
What, compassion?
Yeah. What is it really?
Well, I like to think of compassion as compassion is really understanding what's going on in ourselves and others.
Hmm.
To really be heart connected to that circumstance or that person. So, you know, this whole model or this consciousness really does focus on the heart.
Right. And I remember also that he wrote that it promotes learning and growth.
Yes.
I went back and I reread that chapter.
Well,
and
if you think about it, most of us spend most of our lives in our heads. Right? I mean,
yes,
we do a lot of thinking. We're intelligent human beings, and we like to live up in our heads, and that's great. There's nothing wrong with that. And there's also this place called the heart that also really needs attention. So that's where our compassion comes in, just like we're watching anything. I mean, you know, you watch a Hallmark commercial, for heaven's sakes, and you have that feeling. So that feeling of what? It's just this beautiful warmth of connecting to something. So that's where this language really, really, really takes place, is in the heart. Now, I'm not saying that the head isn't part of it. We're just really trying to understand how to translate what's going on in the head and our thoughts or our judgments and translate them into feelings and needs.
Right. So sometimes when we're creating, we kind of get in this situation where part of us is stepping forward and part of us is shoving us back. It's almost like there's this unconscious motive that's fighting with the conscious intent. So the two things are at cross purposes, you know. And then the judgment comes in. Boom. You are such a procrastinator. You fuck.
Yeah. Right. So, and how does that feel, hearing that? Just hearing that. How does that feel to you?
Oh, it feels terrible. It's such a disappointment. It's angering. It's tense. It's unproductive.
Right. There's pain there.
Yeah, there's a lot of pain.
A lot of pain. So that's a really good example to use. So I really want us all to think about, because I can't imagine there's anyone on this call that hasn't actually said that to ourselves at some time. That we're procrastinating, whether it's writing or getting our butts to the gym or getting to work, getting out of bed, whatever it is. So when you hear the words, you're such a procrastinator, that's a judgment.
Right.
So the first thing we need to distinguish are judgments, our judgment mind from that compassionate mind that we were talking about just before.
Right. We should say that in NVC, the critic is called the jackal.
Correct.
And the kind, loving voice is called the giraffe.
Right. Now, the reason why the giraffe was chosen is because the giraffe has the largest heart of all the land mammals. So it really takes a lot of pumping, a lot of work to get blood flow up to that beautiful head that has a long distance view. I mean, you think about it, the giraffe sees very far, so it's got a lot of insight. And unfortunately for the poor jackal, that just has we just used him as a probably just J for judgment. Probably that's why Marshall chose that word or that.
They're also they're predators and they rip things apart when they.
Yeah, and they're short-sighted, you know, because they're a little bit smaller than the giraffe. So they're both loving creatures. One's not bad and one's not good. They're all good because they all lead us to something. But in the situation of our thinking, it's a lot easier to think to ourselves, okay, that was a jackal thought. Or that was a jackal statement, just so we can stop in the moment to check in with our reality.
Hey, would it be a good idea for people to get that sheet in front of them if they downloaded it? It's a two-page worksheet, and one says feelings we all share, fulfilled feelings and unfulfilled feelings, and the other says needs and values, things we all need and value.
Let me just take a couple minutes and just talk about this sheet. And it's one of these things that I have reduced to a size that fits into my day timer. I take it everywhere I go. I mean, it's just a really wonderful list to have to start getting ourselves familiar with the range of feelings and emotions that we have. Because if we weren't taught about needs growing up, we certainly weren't taught about feelings. So
right, and we were also taught that some are shameful, right? So
right, yeah. I mean, we can actually say that we're probably a feelings illiterate society because it's not something, and that's not a bad thing. It's just not something that we're really comfortable with talking about, or maybe we do talk about them, but do we know the full depth of them? So take a look at how many feelings that are on the sheet.
Right.
So on the top of this sheet is what we call the fulfilled feelings. So feelings are generated from needs. So if we have our needs met, we're feeling the top of the page.
Things like thrilled, euphoric, optimistic, absorbed, open-hearted.
Grateful, yes, encouraged, optimistic, all these really, really lovely, lovely feelings.
Right.
Right. On the bottom section, they're called unfulfilled feelings, and these are the feelings that arise when our feelings are not met. So feelings like sad,
confused, embarrassed,
right,
vulnerable, bereaved,
heartbroken,
yeah,
frustrated,
envious,
yeah. So for those of you that don't have the sheet, there's quite a lot on there, but don't worry. If you're wanting them, I'm sure Steph can let you know how to get them at the end of the call.
Sure.
So that's the one side of the sheet, okay? On the other side of the sheet, if you flip that over or if you there are the needs. These are universal needs and values that we all share, and they're broken down into category. There's a category for connection, honesty, play, peace, physical well-being, meaning, and autonomy. So underneath all of those categories are other needs that are like them, so that they're and believe me, that this list is not, it can go on and on and on, but these are the general needs that we've chosen actually to put on the sheet.
Right. I just have to make one comment. It's so interesting to look at autonomy for me, because I do spend a lot of time alone writing, and sometimes I just need to be alone and independent. And then other times I run screaming from my house like, I've got to be with people.
Right.
But both are valid, and they seem to be opposite, but it's just we change. Our needs change.
Exactly.
Depending on the context of our lives at any moment, yeah.
Right, and I'm guessing in your situation, and maybe a lot of the folks on this call who are self-employed, what was the need that we met to be self-employed? I mean, we met needs by making that decision and choice to be self-employed.
Right.
And I'm guessing one of those was for autonomy,
right,
and independence.
And I
so
think
right
that when you talk about creating, you know, the impulse to create, to express, to be seen, to be heard, to contribute, to understand, to heal, to grow, to, you know, many things.
Right.
Yeah.
So shall we move into an exercise?
Yeah, I would love it. Should we use procrastination, or should I come up with something from my day that's fresh? Or maybe there's somebody else who has something they would like to...
Well, let's. What I'd like to, just so we can kind of keep it as a statement.
Okay.
Just like I'm such a procrastinator.
Okay.
Now, I don't. I think that's a perfect example to use, because we only talked about the judgment, but we actually haven't talked about the feelings or needs around them yet. So what I'd love everybody to do, if they have a pencil and paper handy, is to draw a T at the top of the page. And I want you to put F, as in feelings, on the left-hand side of the T, and N, for need, on the right-hand side of the T.
Okay.
All right. So if you have space above the T, write down, I'm such a procrastinator. So that's your observation or judgment, if you will.
Okay.
That's the statement. So when you hear the statement, I'm such a procrastinator, I want you to look at your feeling sheet and pick out two feelings that arise when hearing or reading that statement. What's going on in your body? Our bodies give us so much information if we just slow down long enough to pay attention to it.
I get such a tightness in my chest and my throat.
Mm-hmm.
And it really lowers my energy, actually.
Yeah, exactly. So even reading into the tightness in our chest, can we put a feeling to that?
I'd say overwhelmed.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah.
So I just want I want you, Steph, I don't know what everyone else's feelings are, I just want everyone to breathe into the first feeling they put on that sheet. Say it out loud. You're all muted. Say the feeling out loud and breathe the feeling in and feel it.
Can I just breathe to myself?
Hmm?
That, I think that was somebody who's not muted. Yeah. It's
yeah.
Okay.
It's all right. That means they're awake out there.
That means they're doing it.
They're doing it. So if there's another feeling on the sheet, just breathe, say it out loud and breathe into that one too.
Yeah, mine is resentful.
Resentful.
Okay. Resentful.
Yeah. So what happens sometimes is people, especially us creative type, really like to rush in to strategy. Okay, I'm procrastinating. What should I do about it? Versus, all right, I'm procrastinating. How do I feel about this? And next step is, what do I really need here? So let's flip our sheet over and think about what we need in this moment when we're thinking about this statement, I'm such a procrastinator.
Hmm.
What's going on? What's going on?
It's like a frantic busyness. That's why it's overwhelming. Pressure. So I guess ease, relief,
yeah.
Space.
Yeah.
Hmm. Time. Rest. Play.
Mm-hmm.
So many things. You're talking to a woman who's on like a 3-day deadline right now. So.
Yeah. I mean, that's your reality.
Yeah. Until
yeah.
Monday, you know.
That's right. So what I don't want to rush ahead too much, but again, two needs. So it could be ease. It could be rest. It could be movement.
Yeah.
Like, oh, my God, I got to do something, which translates into movement.
Right.
So this is our opportunity to really connect to those beautiful needs because there's nothing wrong with this moment. It's just maybe a little uncomfortable, but there's nothing wrong with this moment because if we are procrastinating, then we must be meeting another need.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah.
Because this is another great Marshall statement. Everybody get their pens out. Every action we take as a human being is to fulfill a need.
So even procrastination, which is a so-called bad thing,
no, it's
meets
not bad.
A need. No, but I'm putting quotes
right.
around it in my head.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yep. So this judgment thing called procrastination that we're making ourselves wrong about, we're still meeting a need here. Somewhere we're choosing to meet a need. So let's take a guess at what a couple of those needs might be. So, Stephanie, you actually mentioned a couple of them. So if you're procrastinating, then maybe you do have or you're trying to meet a need for rest and ease.
Right.
So already the energy there has shifted from your choice to shame and blame. You know, procrastination is like one of those things that we shame and blame ourselves about, which is really destructive. It's actually not compassionate.
Right. So this process that you're teaching me or teaching us is helping us transform that into really getting our deepest needs met.
That's right.
But
we have to figure out what they are first, and that's where we're not really adept yet at doing this.
Now, interestingly, just you know, to connect this back to sort of the way I experienced it in the workshops that we did, I found that if I did. Sometimes, you know, when you're under pressure, you think, I don't have time to stop and think about my needs, my feelings
yeah.
and my needs, because I can't give that a half hour. But I discovered that if I did give myself a half hour and to slow it down, and usually it doesn't even take that long. It might be 5 minutes.
Right.
You know, I think it's going to take a long time, but it doesn't.
Right.
Then I get back into this kind of flow state again where I'm actually in a much higher energy productive space.
Yeah.
And so I found that this was a valuable process. I guess that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, well, and I'm imagining that the reason why that's happening for you is that you've changed the energy from should, which is, you know, the word should is actually a very violent word.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we think of nonviolent, we're really thinking of this in the terms of how Gandhi thought about it. Violence in how we think and the words we choose, because our words lead to actions eventually. So this word should is actually very violent to ourselves and others. But on this call, we're thinking in terms of ourselves, okay? So just by changing the energy from should, which is very negative and very shameful and guilt-ridden, and who wants that energy in our bodies?
Right.
Not me. Once you shift it from that to this place of needs, you've just created a choice in the situation, and automatically shifts the energy.
True enough, because if I say I have a need for rest or play, I can fulfill that need in a lot of different ways. I could say,
right,
I do it now, I go to the park, I take a walk. Or I do it in 2 hours, I go to the gym and I work. Or what, this or that or this or that. You know, and or I go back to bed.
Absolutely. But what's the beautiful part of this is you talked about autonomy in the beginning of this call.
Mm-hmm.
So as creatives, who wants to be sitting down to their laptop shooting themselves with that kind of energy? Because I'm imagining that our need for autonomy isn't actually being met if we're actually being told by ourselves or our jackal to sit down and write.
Well, it brings up the little kid in me that's like, you're not going to tell me what to do.
Exactly.
That's like,
and it might as well be a parent telling you that. It actually,
yeah,
it's part of ourselves telling ourselves that, but it doesn't matter. It's the same energy. It's the same premise.
Right.
Versus, oh, you know what? I'm not feeling it right now. I have some choice here. What could I do just to maybe distract myself so that when I come back to this computer, I'm coming to it because I'm really coming from choice and some life-serving need versus some life-alienating judgment statement that I've got going on in my head. So it's a much more powerful place to come from.
So is this tea, this very simple feeling need tea, all we need to begin this process?
Yeah, it actually is. It actually is. So what I like to suggest and offer folks when they first learn about NVC, because, you know, it's actually a consciousness disguised in a language model. You know, it's not just a language model. It becomes a consciousness because it's truly how we begin to think about the world and our part in the world. So what I like to suggest is that, you know, people take around one of those teeny little memo notebooks with them, or keep one by your computer or wherever you're working, and really try to catch the judgment thoughts that you have going on in your mind.
Wow. I think it's a great idea. If you did that for a week, you would just be you would build such an amazing consciousness of what motivates you.
Yes. Even if you did it once a day, I like to suggest people in the beginning try to do it at least 3 times a day. And make it fun. You know, you're standing on a checkout line and you don't have a lot of time, and there's that young lady taking her sweet time, bringing up your items, blah, 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 blah. Like, there's a perfect opportunity to judge somebody. You know,
yeah.
Like, just because I know NVC does not mean that I do not possess judgment in my human character any longer. That's actually not ever going to happen because I'm still human, right?
Right.
But what I can do is catch myself. So, look, if we're going to judge, you might as well have some fun with it, right? So pick some different times in your life. If those of you who live in cities, public transportation is a really great opportunity. That's really fun. You know, like when you hear the driver say something, or you hear somebody around you say something that you're having a judgment around. It's like, I can't believe that person is so X, Y, and Z, whatever that is. Get it down in your little journal. Get the statement down. Just get the judgment statement down and put your little T underneath it and say, you know what? I'm going to do my little exercise now. What am I feeling right now? Why am I so peed off right now? Why am I so triggered around this particular incident or person? So you get your feelings down, and then you get your needs down. This is why, you know, you like to carry around the feelings and need sheet if you can. That's why I've reduced mine to, like, I can hardly read it. But so carry it around with you. Have some fun with it. And do this a few times a day. And that's how you build the consciousness, because we're not necessarily going to change the way we've been thinking for 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years. We're just not, this is not going to happen overnight.
But, you know, it can bring relief to suddenly go, oh, I just have a need for beauty.
Yes. Right.
Oh,
so
you're
passing on the bus and you see, you know, like either graffiti or something like that. That's a perfect example. It's like, oh, my heart just drops when I see that because I have a need for beauty in the world.
Yeah.
That's a perfect example.
So I guess what I would like to do is I would like to let people have an opportunity to either ask you a question, or maybe if we could quickly do it without getting bogged down for 10 minutes with each person, do like quick creative feeling need tea, little tea thing. What do you think?
So, sure, like take a couple of person's teas, like as examples?
Well, if they've got something like, oh, I'm such a procrastinator.
Right.
And they're bold enough to do this with us.
I love that idea.
If you would like to volunteer to take one of your creative judgments about yourself, your critical voices,
mm-hmm.
push *6 and unmute yourself and let us know. We got a
All
couple.
Right.
Who's that? Hello?
I can.
Okay.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi. No, it's Rondi.
Can you say your name?
It's Rondi from Washington State.
Hi, Rondi.
And I love that statement. I'm such a procrastinator. I've been trying to keep a writing career going for about 12 years now, and I get very hung up on what I haven't accomplished, and I don't give myself credit for what I have lots of times. But when I did the tea, I started with the two I think that you had also, Stephanie, which was guilt and overwhelm.
Yeah.
And my needs really were support and nurturing.
Mm.
And it just speaks so much to the kind of the isolation of the writer's life. And when I get overwhelmed, it's because I'm so burnt out that I can't really figure out hardly what I need or how to ask for help. So those are kind of key for me.
Was it a new thought when you discovered these needs?
I think that I've been kind of working with this concept for a while. It's wonderful to hear it put out in this way, and I really like the concept of every action that we take is to meet a need. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
You know, he also said, because I remember the place where he talked about it, he said that if you check in with yourself and you have a have to, must, or a should about any action you're taking, that you can check in and it's you may be doing what you're doing for money, for approval, to escape punishment, to avoid shame, to avoid guilt, out of a sense of duty, instead of play and for integrity. And that, you know, we're really trying to move more into a sense of play, active play, and integrity and wholeness with ourselves and our needs and our sort of relationship.
That's great.
So
can you say that
I
list again?
What's
it's,
that?
For money, for approval, to escape punishment, to avoid shame, to avoid guilt, out of a sense of duty, or on the more positive side, for play and pleasure, or for integrity? I know that when I'm creating, I really love to come from a state of integrity where I really feel like I'm giving something valuable to people.
Right. So your need for integrity is being met when you give from that place.
Mm.
Versus this other energy of maybe that jackal voice telling you that you should be doing it.
Right.
So it's that different vibration of energy that you're feeling in your body, and therefore not only are you feeling that, but I'm imagining that the person you're doing it for is also feeling coming it from that place of integrity, not coming from that place of should or guilt.
Right. Is there anybody else who had a different judgment or observation?
I actually want to go back to Rondi's example about support. And did you say nurturing, Rondi?
Yes.
Great. So one thing that that came up for me when I heard you say that is, you know, our needs are different than our strategies, right? So your needs for support and nurturing are your needs. So that's great to get in touch with. So then a strategy to get them met could come from this inquiry around, okay, now that I'm in touch with my needs for support and nurturing, just want to kind of get in touch with that for a second and just sit with that for a few moments and say, now, what requests could I make of myself or someone else that could help me meet that need? So once we get in touch, once you're in touch with that need for support in your example, how could you make a request of yourself either to support yourself or get support from another person? So this
mm-hmm.
is where the power and choice comes in, which mm-hmm. is where the real juice is. Because then you know how to get the need met. Now, you might be able to call a friend. You might, just as Stephanie said, go and take a walk. To support myself, I might be going to the gym instead of sitting in front of my computer, whatever that is. But there's so much more freedom now because you've got some choice around it, because you're now in touch with the needs.
Mm-hmm.
So what would a strategy be for nurturing? Just give me an example of what comes off at the top of your head.
Oh, I think a big one for me is going for a walk.
Great.
Yeah, that's a big one, and I try to fit that in. And I, you know, Stephanie, you mentioned the issue of the back hurting. I find sometimes that I'm very physically uncomfortable after spending long times at the computer, and that makes me procrastinate just because I can't kind of get comfortable in my body.
Right.
So
the chair.
Trying to find that balance, you know, of movement and the stillness and the concentration that's required. You know, it's hard.
Yeah, yeah. And so I'm also imagining if our back is hurting, then there's also another need there.
Mm-hmm.
Our bodies are crying out for another need to be, you know, not only to be met, but it's like, hello, what about me? What's going
mm-hmm.
on here? Just to tune in to the body.
Right.
So, So is there anyone else out there that has another example? Or
I have a different kind of example. This is Belle from New York.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if this is phrased as a judgment or not, but I don't stick to my daily routine that I make a routine every day for food and exercise, and I don't stick to it.
So your statement would be, I don't stick to my routine.
I don't stick to my routine.
Right.
And the thought, I feel distressed, and then after it happens repeatedly, I feel hopeless.
Right. So your feelings when you think about not sticking to your routine are hopelessness and distress?
Distress.
Okay. So what needs did you uncover
and
there?
And the need, I wrote acceptance and integration.
So I don't stick to my routine, which means I really, really would like some acceptance right now when I think about that.
Self-acceptance.
Yeah, self-acceptance. So in order to, quote, give ourselves empathy, this is what we're doing. We're actually talking ourselves through the T, our feelings and needs. So I want everyone to kind of do this with me. So the statement is, I don't feel like I stick to my routine. And that doesn't really make – I'm talking out loud right now. God, that doesn't make me feel good at all. I feel hopeless. I feel distressed. And I'd really like some acceptance around this. I'd actually I'm just going to go a little bit further, Belle, and just say I'd really like some ease.
I'd really like some?
Ease.
Ease.
Ease around this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I thought you said peace, which also would be nice.
Sure, that would work. I think at the end of the day, everybody's looking for that as the final need, right?
Would it be okay if I ask a question about this? Does the idea that you're not following a routine mean that you have a judgment that you're supposed to follow a routine?
Yes. That's why I wasn't sure if that thought was a judgment or not.
Oh,
I don't stick to the routine that I lay out for myself. So, therefore, you know, there's a judgment there that it's not, you know.
You're not doing it right.
Right. I'm incomplete, yeah.
So it's the feelings, though, that alert you that there's an issue, a need that's not met, right?
The feelings of, because I wake up feeling, okay, I'm going to set out my day, and then by the end of the day, I realize I haven't done too much.
Mm-hmm. So I'm also imagining you have a need for some productivity.
Yes.
Or accomplishment.
Yes. Okay.
So there's what we call these layering of needs. There's all kinds of needs that go on, not necessarily simultaneously, but underneath. So there's lots of needs that are going on for you in this particular situation. Now, I do want to hop back to what Stephanie was talking about, because it's very important for us to know that it is actually a judgment, because we are so clever and we're so locked into them. We don't know if it's a – how do you know if it's a judgment or not? How do you know? So does it make you feel good is the first question. Does this statement – am I feeling good right now? If you have an unfulfilled feeling, just imagine that it's most likely a judgment. Our judgments are driven by these unmet needs. So if our feelings are generated from the needs, right, that are either unmet or met, then the reason why the sheet is broken down into fulfilled feelings and unfulfilled feelings, our unfulfilled feelings is a very large indicator that we've got a jackal voice going on or a judgment voice. And another one is if you're telling yourself you should be, I should be more productive. I should be accomplishing more today. So can you just feel the heaviness of that? Can you feel how crappy that feels?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, do you think that's even motivating?
No, it hasn't been so far. It hasn't changed any. Motivation is some kind of change. It hasn't led to that.
Right. And I'm really guessing you'd like to be motivated so that you could be inspired to get some of the stuff checked off the list.
So those are more needs, inspiration, and motivation?
Well, first we got to get, yes, they are, but again, those are even deeper layers, right?
Mm-hmm.
So first we got to get in touch with the needs that you're meeting by not doing it.
My recollection of what we did in the workshop was we asked a lot of questions. We just guessed.
Mm-hmm.
And that was where we would find things that we weren't already aware of. What if it was this? What if it was that?
Well, this is where the sheets come in so handy. You know, it's these the needs side of the sheet. Really take a look at it And I really highly recommend, if you're not, if anyone is uncertain, because this is, you know, does anyone not understand any of what those needs are on the back? I mean, first of all, it's about us taking a look at what are these needs? Do I even understand what they are?
Mm.
You know? So it's like if you have to look something up in the dictionary, really become acquainted with what they are and what they mean to you. So just like this word inspiration.
Hmm.
What does that mean to everybody? What does that, ask yourself the question, wow, what does inspiration really mean to me? What does contribution mean to me? What would that look like in my life if I really had that need met?
And I think what you're also, you know, what we can also do as writers and artists and creators and teachers and healers and whoever we are, and whatever we are creating, we could, part of this process is helping us understand what would be our highest vision of that calling, in a way. I just noticed that we have about 10 minutes left to go, mm-hmm. and I want to read one more quote. It may not be an exact quote from Marshall Rosenberg, but it was my paraphrase of it when I was taking notes. Creativity enriches our lives. It is one of the most important things we can do for the enrichment of life. Compassion, self-empathy, promotes learning and growth. Instead of treating ourselves like objects, such as a typewriter or a computer, we can have a significant relationship with ourselves like good friends or even lovers. And when I think of writing from that state of being, I get really inspired.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering if you have any particular thing you might want to say to kind of wrap up. I do have one announcement that I want to make, and I think you have an announcement too.
Yeah, when I hear you read that quote, what really strikes me and moves me is this, that as the people on this call are moved to create, and so I'm imagining that's coming from a deep place of self-connection. So how the MVC really allows us this ability or tool to be more self-connected. And it's through getting comfortable and familiar with our feelings and our needs and our lives and in that moment. So it's just a beautiful opportunity as creative people to be engaged at such an unbelievable level that you're taking what the self-connection from within, you're bringing it out into the world. So the last thing we want is to have this critical mind take over that really doesn't allow us to do what we're meant to do and be in the world, which is contribute this beautiful creative spark that you have in you. So, wow. So if I could just, my wish for you is to go out and buy this book and read it. And I'll give you the name of it again. It's called Nonviolent Communication, A Language of Life. And it's by Marshall Rosenberg, and that's B-E-R-G. And how it has changed my life is how I am looking at the world. It really does allow me to take more self-responsibility for my life and what kind of life, you know, what in any particular moment, how do I want to experience this moment? Do I really want to be disconnected and judgmental and out there? Or do I really want to be inside of me experiencing what my reflection is, my experience through my feelings and needs? So it takes practice but the rewards are innumerable.
Hmm. Yeah. I feel very grateful that you spent time with us on this call, and I feel very grateful that you've spent as much time as you have facilitating my learning this process. I know that you have a website, and I want to make sure that people know that. It's Betsy Clark, C-L-A-R-K with an E on the end, .com.
Yeah.
And so that you can be reached. And you're teaching again soon, aren't you?
I am. I'm teaching another class here in New York City for those local folks on the call. That's going to be on Tuesday nights from 6:30 to 8:30, starting on May 23rd, so right before the Memorial Day weekend, through June 27th. So it'll be once a week for 6 weeks. And I'm just calling it the Compassionate Dialogue, but, you know, it's really allowing the group to really go through the same experience as Stephanie did, which is really to learn the basics of NVC. And so that's the class I'm giving, and there's classes all the time here in New York and throughout the country, by the way. I'm going to give you a couple of websites, certainly for those local folk and for people all around the country. The other website that is informational in regard to this work is nycnvc.org. And that organization has workshops, at least it has a free introduction each first Monday of the month. And the next one's coming up this Monday night, and that's at CAP Studios on West 18th Street. All the information's on the website. And it has also workshops posted throughout the month and the year, so they've got their yearly publishing there. And the bigger mother website, if you will, is CNVC, which is the Center for Nonviolent Communication, which is actually .org, which is actually based in California. So if you just want more information on where NVC is around the world and really the depth and breadth of this work that's been going on for 20 years, check that one out as well.
I know people who practice it in other parts of the country, too. So people form groups all the time. This link with an MP3 file of this will be posted on my website. So if you want to go back and listen to it or listen to any of the other calls and interviews I've done with people on creative issues, they are there on my resources page, and that's stephaniegunning.com. And I want to make one announcement, which is that I am starting a new 4-week telephone coaching book proposal course. I have two more spots available. That's going to be for 4 Tuesday nights in May, starting on the 9th.
Great.
And I've been doing this for about a year and a half, and it's just a month-long course, and it's for people who are really, really ready to do a hands-on proposal process. You can, if you really dig in, you can actually walk away with a book proposal. So just contact me on at stephaniegunning.com, and I can give you more details. And I'll probably send an announcement about that soon. But anyway, so thank you so much, Betsy. This has been
really
wonderful.
I love to leave people with homework. That's what I do. As I am a coach, so I always like to leave people with homework. So if you know, I could either do that now or...
Yeah, go for it. Go for
okay,
it.
Good. So here's your homework. Here's your homework assignment. If you choose to take that on, it's always your choice. This is an A Should activity. I want you to write down all the things that you're, you know, telling yourself that you should be doing. Like, just write down, like, all the lists. This is all in list format, okay? So what you're doing is telling yourself the first round, you're reading the list, and you're telling yourself, I have to do this. I have to do this. I either have to take my kids to school, or I have to go grocery shopping, or blah, 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 blah. Just write all that stuff down. That really is sort of taking up your energy. And then the next time you read through the list, I want you to do it from a I choose to. So I choose to take my children to school. I choose to blah, 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 blah. So then the last, so that's step two. The last step is I choose to, what's that activity? Because I want. What are you choosing? What need are you meeting by choosing to do this particular activity? So what this exercise is really allowing you to take a look at are you really in choice around this? Or are you kind of being, you know, shackled, if you will, by should energy? And what that allows you to do is make different choices as a result. So write down the list of the things that you're telling yourself you have to do coming from the should energy. That's step one. Step two is now say, I choose to, and just watch if your energy shifts just from switching the word to choose. And then step three is, I choose to do X because I want what? And that's where your need sheet comes into play, because I want the needs. What need are you satisfying by doing and choosing that?
I love it.
And that's it.
That's great. And so I guess we'll just say farewell to everybody and
thank
sign
you,
off this call. And I'll be speaking with you soon, Betsy.
Yes. Thanks, everyone. It was a pleasure.
Thank you.
Bye, Steph.
Okay. Good night.
Good night.